Hello and welcome to the LRM podcast, sponsored by Adrian Flux Insurance. I'm Martin Dominey.
And I'm Steve Miller.
And you join us for an hour of chat about Land Rovers at Christmas time.
On Christmas Day?
On Christmas Day. If you're actually listening on Christmas Day, first of all, thank you. And also, why have you not got anything better to do?
Yeah, but they might be listening to us on New Year's Day or in March.
In March, yeah, maybe. It's been quite nice, actually. A lot of people have sort of discovered the podcast recently and gone back and listened to all the other drivel that we've recorded over the last, I can't remember what number we're on now, 30-odd.
Yeah, it's been quite a few, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. It's been good, though. So, yeah, I mean, it's Christmas. It's Christmas Day. Merry Christmas to everyone listening.
So snow is falling outside. It's all white Christmas.
It would be nice, wouldn't it? You'd go out and do a bit of Green Lane in the afternoon after you've had Christmas dinner.
After a couple of sherries.
Probably not after a couple of sherries. So you want to end up in a ditch or in jail.
Both.
But talking of Christmas dinner, yeah, we've had instant response. Nothing else about what we spoke about last week, apart from the Yorkshire puddings and the vitriol that I've had off the back of that, especially from...
So if anyone hasn't actually heard, I ridiculed Martin's attempt at cooking it. No, you said you'd cooked a roast dinner.
Yeah.
And you went all out and everything else. And I asked the question, did you make your own Yorkshire pudding?
And the answer is no.
And... which I think is a criminal offence.
Well,
immediate.
So you're not alone.
The pastor will be locked up.
Well, Seb Jameson's got in touch instantly. I mean, within hours of last week's going live, and said, "Your choice of pre-made Yorkshire pudding has made me seriously reconsider the advice given out in the podcast, and I'm sure many listeners will agree." Well, first of all, the advice given out in this podcast probably
don't listen to us.
Should be taken with a pinch of salt. What goes in the magazine?
Actually, a pinch of salt goes in Yorkshire pudding.
Does it? Well, I'm about to tell you. Seb goes on to say, to help you regain some of our trust, I present to you a simple Yorkshire pudding recipe. He then goes on to, it's quite a comprehensive recipe, 12 muffin tray sized or 8 medium sized Yorkshire puddings. And there's a...
It depends how many people are coming around for dinner.
Well, quite. It's full of very, very sage advice, such as use chicken eggs, not ostrich eggs, and use milk from a cow.
How many people make Yorkshires with ostrich eggs?
Well, I don't know. Clearly, he thinks I'm that much of an idiot that I might.
Oh, he hasn't met you there.
Oh, dear. So, anyway, thanks, Seb. Enjoy fixing your P38. I'm surprised you've got time to make your own Yorkshire puddings with one of them on the driveway.
It's on his bump stop right now.
Yeah. But thank you. I suppose I'll give it a go. I will actually try this recipe.
So, since it's Christmas Day, many, many people... we'll be making Yorkshire puddings, probably while listening to the podcast.
Probably. Yorkshire puddings with turkey. Is that a thing?
Isn't it?
It's beef, isn't it? You normally have... Well, anyway, we digress. But anyway, we could bang on about food all day because it's great, isn't it? But, yeah, I mean, the other thing... I was going to say, actually, if I do try that recipe, should I put it on the LRM YouTube channel? Is that a bit weird?
What, cooking with Martin?
LRM's Guide to Yorkshire Puddings.
Yeah, it is weird.
Last week's podcast was called LRM's Guide to Last Minute Christmas Shopping. So why not have an LRM Guide to Yorkshire Puddings?
We should have a look at... Yeah, you'll just go to the Aunt Bessie's older section and...
We've been through this. I don't use the Aunt Bessie's ones. I use fresh ones, but pre-made.
Yeah.
Anyway, YouTube, right?
YouTube is, yes.
If you're in one of those jobs where you have time off between Christmas and New Year, like you are, Steve...
Hang on a minute.
What?
Well, yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly. You probably might find yourself at a bit of a loose end, or maybe wanting to escape the family, or maybe, you know, you want to go, you don't really...
The mother-in-law in the corner snoring.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you might be feeling a little bit tender after a heavy night on Christmas Day or Boxing Day, and you just want to relax and unwind. And YouTube is perfect for that. Of course, Land Rover Monthly's own YouTube channel. Land Rover Monthly, originally named, has got some great content on it, and it will have even more great content on it next year. But there's lots of other channels that I certainly enjoy. And what about you? Do you find yourself in the recommendations of YouTube looking through and checking out some Land Rover stuff?
Yeah, I have. I do watch a fair bit of YouTube. Mm. But I tend to go, you never really search things organically. Well, I do sometimes if you want to learn how to fix something, but people's channels tune in, but it's not always Land Rover stuff. So some of the expedition type vehicles builds and some of the really finest off-roading in Australia.
Yes, of course. You'd have to be living under a rock to not know about four-wheel drive 24/7 and their escapades for Australia and America now.
Yeah, some fantastic stuff. But yeah, I do like seeing people's vehicle builds.
Well, you got really into it. I remember you saying when you set about designing your trailer, you really went down a bit of a rabbit hole on looking at different people's methods and sort of styles of overlandy build.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And following on from that, you can, yeah, I mean, money no object, some of these builds, but at least people showing you different things and all sorts of camping setups. And yeah.
Yeah, it's inspirational, and also it's down to earth, isn't it? It's like, well, like we did with the Series 3 rebuild. We've got three episodes up on that now. It is all literally the most grassroots, dirt under the fingernails, mucking about in your driveway. There is no production, really.
So you've had quite a few comments, haven't you, about your Series 3 rebuild. So addressing some of those, right? So I remember when you'd got this lovely shiny chassis there.
Oh, don't stop.
And then he was like, right, let's slide these axles. I said, what was my first thing I said to you?
People will comment on it.
No, I did. You
said, are you going to wash
them? Are you not going to pressure wash the axle?
Well, you said, yeah.
And you were like, no. I was like, what? But everyone else.
Time was of the essence, wasn't it? This is it.
Yeah. But where I'm going with this is, like, so you've rebuilt your Land Rover in a very honest and real way.
Yeah.
Probably a bit too honest because you didn't paint the axles. But anyway, that's by the by. Many people will agree with me. But it's your Land Rover and you've built it how you want to do it. You've since addressed the issue. You've done it since putting them back on the new chassis, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, we washed the axles after filming. I haven't painted them because, to be perfectly honest with you,
it's a working car.
They're protected in as much
oil.
They've got oil. And they have got rust proofer on them. But it's going to be used for green laning and it's going to go through mud and it's going to be used in all weathers. I don't see the point in spending hours and hours and hours preparing the casings, priming them and then painting them and then undersealing them and then whatever, because it will just look like, after 2 weeks, it will look exactly how it looks now.
So, yeah, I think with YouTube, right, so if you are watching YouTube and you're watching stuff, I always think that, you know, some of the comments that people make,
yeah,
there's some nasty people around.
Well, the trouble is, so
everyone's got an opinion.
Yeah, everyone does have an opinion. And don't get me wrong, I think most of the people who commented on our video, that video specifically, not blasting the axles off, were well-meaning. And, you know, but some of the comments you see on other channels and things proper nasty.
There's professional YouTubers out there. I followed a couple who built a Land Rover, like an Icarus pop-top conversion.
Alucab.
Type of thing, yeah. Lovely build and really well thought out. I mean, they did like an episode on YouTube where they were getting death threats. I mean, they're professional YouTubers. They build one vehicle and they went on to build a camper van out of, you know, these like Tesco delivery vans and
stuff. Oh, like a box van.
Van. And then they did a six-wheel drive, a Pinscower.
Right, right.
Yeah, and then they go off and do expeditions and stuff like that. They're professional YouTubers, but they get like death threats. And
why?
Because people don't like them.
But the thing is, it's like,
it's just wrong.
You've got to be, we're just starting out really compared to a lot of these big channels, but you've got to be so thick skinned on YouTube. And death threats are another level. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
At the end of the day,
and they're abusive about the couples, like a husband and wife or boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever.
That's ridiculous.
And it's just like,
why?
They're judging them on their appearance.
There's nothing else going on in your life that you feel you need to get behind your keyboard and write something horrible about someone who's giving you entertainment for free and you have no obligation to watch.
Absolutely. But it brings me on, right? So the other day I watched, and many of our listeners probably have watched this as well, on the channel Quest, Ant Anstead's Born Mechanic.
Yes, I heard about this, but I haven't actually seen it.
So he's going to see, like, I don't know, six different programs. He's restored Triumph, Dolomite, Sprints. He's done a various, I can't think of the other cars now, various cars. Anyway, on the last episode, they went and found a Land Rover.
Was it all done in one episode then?
Yeah, it's just 1 hour episode. So what people, and I've seen, you know, forums, this has been mentioned. So they go and buy a Series 3. They turn up, it's 42,000 miles from new, It's that pale green colour, I can't remember.
Okay.
Hard top. Bonkers, absolutely rotten as a carrot. But the rest of the car looks okay. Like, no, there's no mention of the chassis, nothing. The bulkhead is rotten.
Yeah.
Which was quite unusual, I thought. Perhaps it was set up like that, but...
Maybe. It's hard to say, isn't it?
It is. So if you and I were looking at that car, you would think 2.5-3 grand.
Mm.
But he bought it for 7,500 quid.
Right.
Which is strong money.
Yeah.
Very strong money.
Yeah.
So this is how, like, TVs put together. So these budgets that people, unlike LRM's budget on YouTube, which is completely other end of the scale, i.e. you've got no money.
Budget.
Yeah, exactly. You can barely buy a sandwich, you know. But these budgets, the 7,500 or £7,000, whatever car was, is immaterial.
Yeah.
That's just an expense to buy, to produce TV.
Yeah.
It's the star of the show, isn't it? The car. So anyway, they go off, and then so the Born Mechanic is a program by Ant Anstead, and people will be familiar with him. He's been on Wheeler Dealers. He's even been in LRM.
Has it?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Oh, really?
When he first appeared on TV, was doing a series one with Phil Glenister.
For the love of cars.
For the love of cars. Yeah. So we featured that series one and him back when he was sort of made it onto TV.
Right.
Anyway, since then, he's got and bought this car. And Born Mechanic is doing a house up at the same time. So the profit from the classic cars is what he's putting into the house. So we already know that's not true, because the house was going to hemorrhage cash left, right and centre.
God, that sounds like a recipe for sleepless nights.
He takes the Land Rover back to his home workshop, which is essentially a shed with no roof. So you know it's not really happening in there. Surely people do know this. He isn't actually doing all the work on that car himself.
Right.
There's a team behind the scenes.
Okay.
A bit like Wheeler Dealers.
You've obviously got experience with vehicular television.
Yeah. I've been on there a couple of programmes. So Shed and Buried with Henry Cole and Find It, Fix It, Drive It.
Yeah. Both great programmes.
Great programmes. But behind the scenes, it's like there isn't a team actually. They do it, but it's only just fluffed up for the telly.
You heard it here first.
So when they say, we made £1,000 or we lost £500, and then, people comment, well, they're not even charging for labour. No.
Do you know where...
The true cost is actually, or the true profit is the actual TV production.
Do you know where programmes have got something sorted that we haven't, though? They always pressure wash stuff.
Yeah.
They always clean stuff, don't they?
Because they've got a team of guys doing it.
Maybe that's where we...
They
were falling down.
But the series three, so he sends his dad off to go, Ant sends his dad off to go and buy a second-hand bulkhead. And he comes back with an equally rotten one.
Great.
How much, like, you have not seen the programme.
No, I've not watched it.
How much would you pay for a series three bulkhead with rotten footwells, but less rotten than the one you're taking off, still need replacing, and a front panel that's still got holes in it?
A bulkhead and a front panel?
No, not a front panel. You know the the bit where the steering column comes.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. Probably, I don't know, 200 quid.
He paid. The guy wanted £1,100. But this is making TV. Don't forget, right? So it's not the price is. Yeah, you know, we're in the know. You could go to one of our spares days and find that bulkhead for.
I saw him coming, didn't?
200 quid. 300 quid, probably.
Yeah.
But anyway,
a project bulkhead.
He goes, oh no. He says 800. He goes, no, I'd rather keep it. Keep it for who? The scrap man?
I was going to say, the steel isn't that high at the moment.
So he paid 900 for it, took it back to Ant's workshop.
I bet he was chuffed as nuts.
And he let to with his welder. Meanwhile, they worked out that it was too rotten. But again, this is making entertainment.
Right, okay.
Then all of a sudden, Anstead's mechanic mate, I forget his name in the programme, he then calls in a favour from another guy that brings him a brand new Series 3 bulkhead, painted in the exact colour of the car.
There's all the chance.
For £700.
I'll take a few of them if he tells us where they're coming from. Yes, that'd be nice.
Yeah, call in some favours.
Mine's going to need one soon.
Then he builds the Land Rover up, puts it all back together. This is in 1 hour. And then at the end, he sends it to auction and attempts to make a profit. But before he did, this is the bit that got my goat. I didn't enjoy this bit.
Right.
He paid a guy, rather than touching up the paint, he sanded and faked patina.
But was the vehicle
fully painted?
Was it original paint on it?
I think so, original colour.
And he...
So he basically sanded on the tops of the wings, you know, where the curves of the wing.
Yeah,
so he faked patina.
That's stupid.
But made it say it looked like it had aged, but and then sort of...
If that was a truly original low-owner, low-mileage Series 3 with its original paint, or even if it had had a coat of paint, I don't care, making it look more worn than it actually is, unless you're doing it for a specifically themed car rather than just...
Yeah, for me, I just thought, oof.
Yeah, that's not for me.
But anyway...
I'll have to watch it.
Yeah, you have to watch it. Anyone else, I don't know, it's probably on some sort of catch-up thing. Probably. Have you made quests on catch-up? Probably.
I would imagine so. Most of the channels are catch-up now.
But have a look. See if you agree or disagree. But for me...
I've seen a bit of conversation about this one on Facebook, and I sort of didn't... Because I haven't watched it, I didn't pay too much attention to it. But sounds an interesting concept.
But what people, you know, have got to realise is the budgets involved in TV are huge. I mean, they're getting tens of thousands of pounds per episode.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the car is immaterial, whether they make profit or not.
Do you think they genuinely did make money?
I think, No, not really. Well, let's put it this way. I'll happily have the TV come round and finish my abandoned project.
Well, this is it. You see, this is another reason I didn't paint my axles, because you've painted your axles and your 90 hasn't moved for about 17 years. It must have.
You know.
So,
3 years.
Well, you know. Talking of entertainment, though, I thought this would be a good opportunity to do Feature of the Week.
Oh, yeah.
Because this...
Reading a magazine is entertainment.
Well,
take yourself off and read LRM.
The great thing about LRM... and every magazine, I guess, but specifically LRM in this case, is what you see on YouTube is real and it's great, but we go a step further and you get behind the scenes of all that stuff. I mean, we tell you about what we do anyway, because it's what we do. But this week's feature of the week is Church House Classics. Have you seen him on YouTube?
Do you know what? I don't think I have.
He's a really, really funny... what's the word, personable guy. Like, you relate to him. He's just like a normal guy in his garage fixing primarily Range Rover Classics, restores them. Richard Hudson, his name is, and his channel and his business is called Church House Classics. And Alistair Cusick went to go and see him. Obviously, Alistair's a big Range Rover guy. And he showed us around his workshop. He showed us sort of his processes when he gets a new vehicle in to restore or do work on. We look at some of his older... and some projects he's done in the past, my favourite of which is called Bob. For the record, I'm showing Steve a picture of Bob.
Like a bobtail.
It's a bobtail.
Yeah.
But...
don't see many days around anymore.
He unbobtailed it. Back to original. I don't know anyone else who's done that.
That's quite a thing,
actually. A real achievement. And, yeah, he's just like finding his own way, if you see what I mean. So he's not a professional mechanic, but... he's taught himself all these skills and it's all come together and he's really, really busy. He's got loads on. He's doing, you know, some really nice cars, but he's a real sort of, he works out of a small workshop and it's really sort of, I don't know, relatable, I guess. Similar to us doing the rebuild on a gravel drive. So that's in the latest issue of Land Rover Monthly. So be sure to check that out. It's a good read. I really enjoyed it.
Nice.
And actually met Richard at Newbury before this came out in the magazine and we had a good chat over some Range Rover Classic bits he was looking for.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think people are relating to your rebuild because we're not in a workshop this time.
Yeah.
We have done workshops. We have done rebuilds for the magazine in, you know, places like Britparts Workshop.
Yeah, sure.
Where every tool and every part is on hand and it comes together a lot more quickly, but...
It's the same... sort of, you come up against the same problems, but it's how easy they are to solve and how badly your knees hurt from having bits of stone and things like that.
That's what puts me off. My own driveway is gravel.
Yeah.
Oh, it's horrendous.
You have got a decent shed, though. You could make good progress in there.
Yeah, to a point, yeah.
What I've done, essentially, is, although we've been doing the majority of the work outside, is I've left the cab off the Land Rover so it can go in and out of my shed, because once the cab is on, it won't fit in.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to have. I've got the same problem.
Yeah, so that'll be like the last job is fit the cab, which is what we're going to do in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Probably and then it'll be done.
We'll probably film that sometime over between Christmas and New Year.
Yeah, I expect so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ready for the New Year.
I can't wait to have it back on the road. I've been seeing all these... like little meets and events and stuff going on, and I'm like, just want to go out and drive.
You do need a Land Rover.
But
anyway, we've had a couple of readers' letters.
Have we? Go on then.
Yeah.
Let's have
not it. Even readers, they're listeners.
Of course, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's been a while since we made that mistake.
Yeah, well, pretty much every podcast, actually.
Yeah.
This one is from a chap called Tad. So, hi guys, big fan of the podcast. Easy listening and always keen to learn more about the world of Land Rovers, as are we.
Absolutely, we're always learning.
I bought my dream Defender 90 in June 2023. I've wanted one since I was a kid and I've always thought they were the coolest vehicle, classless and unapologetically British. Couldn't agree more. It's my daily driver and I truly enjoy every time I drive it. I love its simplicity and its faults. A Land Rover doesn't have faults.
Character, it's called.
Character.
Yeah, yeah.
The best part of owning a Defender is the fun it brings. Friends and family love going in it. I get compliments from strangers and get chatting to people about it. I feel like most people have soft side or connection to a Defender, especially living in the countryside. It's part of the culture. He's learned a lot about maintenance. He's done a fair few bits to it, EGR deletes, new seats, carpet.
No, he didn't do an EGR delete. He, that didn't happen.
It didn't happen. You didn't do an EGR delete at all. But it was in his mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Then he realised it. And then he realised, actually, you're not allowed to do this.
That'd be irresponsible. And I would definitely fail at an OT on not having an EGR delete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's done a respray and general TLC. It's been testing at times. Couldn't agree more with Land Rovers. But it's far outweighed by good times. I'm not sure I could ever part ways with my Defender. It's become a true passion just owning it. My next job is changing the rear sliding windows, but they are the 50-70 radius, which seems harder to get.
Okay.
I would come to one of our spares days.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Who else sliding windows? Who else would help with
that? Yeah. Don't know. But yeah, come to our spares days. There's sometimes it's cheaper to buy the actual hardtop sides with the windows already in them.
Yeah, it can be. That's what I did with my truck cab, in fact. My, the runners on my sliding window and my truck cab were absolutely, they're basically dust.
So just buy a new one, other than actual windows.
I priced up new runners, new felts, everything like that, and clips for the window, and new seals for the quarter lights, the curved windows in the corners.
Yeah.
And by the time I'd done that, I'd gone to Newbury and bought a truck cab with new seals in it and good runners and everything like that, and it was even cheaper to just do that. So I'd agree.
Yeah, yeah. Here's his question now. So what are your guys' thoughts on running black and silver plates on a Defender? Mine's 2002, so clearly doesn't meet the requirements. I saw Tim Foster's from Chelsea Tractor Club. If he gets away with it being in London with them, are police hot on that stuff? Sorry for the rambling email. Just wanted to share my Defender ownership so far with plenty more to come. All the best, Tad. So thanks, Tad, for your email.
Thank you for getting in touch. What's your take on the black and silvers then, Steve? Come on, straight out the gate. Let's have it.
I like it on age-specific vehicles. I don't like it when they're not supposed to be there.
No, I completely agree.
I think it's like there's a lot of number. We've spoken about number plates on the podcast before.
Yeah, 4D.
4D gel plates, badly spaced, and then lit with LED, so they're extra bright. That really annoys me.
I just think,
but black and silver,
I've heard that they don't pick up on ULEZ and ANPR cameras, which is fine if you're desperate to have them. The only thing I would say on that side, apart from they're obviously illegal on vehicles after 1980, I think it is, or 81.
Well, it used to be, didn't it? Up to like 72, and now the rolling exemption in the UK is 40 years and older.
But then MOT. They stopped it.
And they stopped it again?
Yeah. No, it's still rolling tax and MOT exemption, but they stopped the black and silver plate rule.
Okay.
I'm sure it's vehicles built before 81 can have them.
Oh, see, this is a job to keep up, isn't it?
Yeah, it changes all the time.
I just don't think. I do like black and silver number plates on vehicles that should have had them from new.
Yeah, I agree.
But is it because I'm getting older and I'm starting to appreciate?
I don't know. Because I bought some black and silver plates for my Series 3, which is legally allowed to have them. And I've sort of mocked them up on there and I'm like, it wouldn't have had them new. I think if I can find some, I'd like to get the aluminium with the raised letters.
Yeah, with the raised letters. That's be age appropriate.
Which it would have had new, and because it looks right. Defenders with black and silvers, not for me. I wouldn't bother.
No, I wouldn't. And when you say the police hot on that stuff, one police officer, may be absolutely hot on number plates, but another one will be hot on something else, and you just don't know who you're going to get. I wouldn't chance it. It's just an excuse to be pulled over.
If the rumours are, if what I've read is true and they don't pick up, they don't get pulled up on ANPR, if that defender's ever nicked as well, and you ring the police and say, my defender's been stolen, this is the reg, and it doesn't get picked up on ANPR, the chances of you getting it back are even smaller than they would be anyway.
Yeah, good point.
So I just think it's personal preference, but when I see a newer car with black and silvers, I just think, what are you doing? Come on.
Yeah. So I think we've answered Tad's question.
Yeah, don't fit
them. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Just fit nice. I tell you what, one of the best things you can do to any car is, doesn't matter the age, fit fresh plates. Like the right style for the vehicle. Just fit fresh plates and it makes such a difference.
It does. I've done it not that long ago with my Green 90.
Mm. Yeah.
Because they were fading in the black lettering. It gets all pepper. Thin. And the yellow, for particularly, you know, on the rear plate, was shining through.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. Definitely.
Well, you can read the next one.
I'll read the next one. The next one is from James McClelland, who says, oh, he's in Australia, is James. Evening, men from sunny Oz. I always listen to the show when I'm out and about. When we lived in the UK, my birthday present every year from my wife was a yearly subscription to Land Rover Monthly. Go on, James. I'm a Land Rover fan now 15 years. I've owned in the past a 2014 SD V6 Discovery 4, which the whole family loved, and I stupidly sold it to make a quick buck during COVID, which was a massive mistake. Well, it's one of those things, isn't it? When the opportunity comes up.
Yeah, money. Yeah. Money talks.
I'm now on the hunt for a Defender. My question is, what Defender would you guys recommend? I have no mechanical knowledge, I'm not a millionaire, so I can't afford to go to the mechanics or welders every weekend. I'm keen to learn more about mechanics, and I don't mind having a go. My budget would be around $20,000 to $30,000. That's Australian dollars, which I guess is probably about, oh God, I don't know, I didn't convert it, 15 to 18?
I don't know what the conversion, yeah.
Anyway, in my budget, I can get an okay 1980 series Defender or a mid-1990s Defender. So you can get a 1980-ish series Land Rover or a mid-90s Defender with higher mileage. So between mileage ranging between 160 kilometres to 400 kilometres. Thanks for your help, James McClelland.
Do you know what I'd buy if I was in Australia?
Go on.
But this is...
Land Cruiser.
According to all the YouTube channels I watch. Yeah.
Your 79 series.
79 series Land Cruiser. That's it. Do you know, I had this question the other day from somebody that asked us. We'll probably answer this in another one.
Right.
But we need time to think, really. If we couldn't own a Land Rover, what would we own?
That's a great question.
That's a really good question. I can't remember. And now I need to dig out the email that we had.
That's a great question.
So
anyway, James's question, though.
But we could put that to our listeners, right? If you couldn't have a Land Rover, what 4x4 would you own?
Yeah, that's
what and why. So we'll have that on editorial@lrm.co.uk.
Yes, please. That would be great to hear.
And then we'll copy your answers.
We won't copy our
answers. No, I already know
what ideas already.
But yeah.
We're proud to partner with Adrian Flux, an insurance broker that specializes in covering all types of Land Rovers, including classic, ex-military, modified, and Q-plated models. Adrian Flux offers a range of optional extras to make the policy your own and can provide cover for off-roading, green laning, agreed value, and build-up cover. Plus, they even offer a discount of up to 15% for Owners Club members. Simply search Adrian Flux Land Rover Insurance for more information or call them directly on 0344 728 0417 for a quote.
If I was in Australia,
yeah,
I would hunt out one of the ex-military Parentes.
Yeah.
Right? So they're a 110 with a 3.9 Mazda engine, which is
an Isuzu engine.
Sorry, Isuzu engine. The 3.9, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, with an LT, that's where I'm getting it, LT95 box.
Yes.
I'd hunt one of those.
I would love one of them. If you can find one of them, James, buy one of them. Get a Parente.
There was a guy in the UK, actually, near Birmingham, a guy called Mark. He used to import them.
Oh, right.
Yeah, in the UK.
I don't think I've ever seen one in person.
No, I haven't. But I think that would be, you know, pull a house down, I would.
Yeah, they're serious bits of kit. I know that much. Oh, actually, wow, the Australian dollar. For the record, I'm just converting the Australian dollar to the UK pound. Is so if we do 25,000, that's actually only, it's 50... pence to one Australian dollar. So it's half our currency, essentially.
Oh, okay.
So he's got about 12 and a half grand to spend UK money, but obviously...
I reckon you would get one of those Parentes, you know.
He seems like he's got his heart set on the Defender, but do you know what I'd probably go for? And I've actually got a friend in Australia who has...
Oh, do they have any friends?
He's got a Discovery One. He bought a Discovery One off me years ago, and he went out back home to Australia. He's got another one. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I did a great deal on that car. It was great. But if you want a Defender, if you want a Land Rover, I personally, it depends on so many things, because Australia is massive, isn't it?
Is their fuel cheap?
I don't know, honestly.
Compared to like earnings, because then you could just run a V8.
You could.
Yeah, Discovery 2.
He wants a Defender. I think I would go for a TDI. I wouldn't be bothered by the mileage. I would buy it based on condition. I would look around and I would buy the best TDI-powered Defender you can find.
You know that's our default answer.
Because it's right to.
Right. I just realised, right, every time someone asks us buying advice, we always say the same thing.
Yeah. Buy a TDI Defender.
Oh, you've got one for sale, right?
No, I haven't. But if I...
if we did, we could, yeah, they are the best.
I always used to say, I still do,
there's
actually.
Probably more TDI Defenders there than TD5s.
Probably.
In Australia.
I would have thought so.
Yeah. Sorry, go on.
There's just such a dependable... I know I bang on about TDIs, but they're such a good engine. And my friends used to have TD5 Discoveries and things like Discovery 3s and whatever and blah, blah, blah. And when I had my last Discovery, the 300 TDI, anytime anything went wrong on any of their cars, I'd just say, oh, you don't get that with a TDI, do you? You don't get that with a TDI.
No.
Every problem they ever had, oh, this has gone wrong, can you come around and plug it in? Well, you don't get that with a TDI. And it's true, but I didn't tell them about the problems I had. I just fixed them before anyone noticed.
No, fair enough. But yeah, TDI Defender.
Great question, James. Go for a TDI Defender, I would.
So whilst you're sitting there on Christmas Day, if you are listening to this on Christmas Day, you probably are thinking, I've got some questions. editorial@lrm.co.uk.
We love getting questions.
Into the new year, we can go into something.
You've got me thinking about what I'd own if I didn't have a Land Rover now. That's all I can think about.
Oh, yeah. Should we answer? Should
we do it now?
Yeah, go on then.
As a Christmas treat?
Yeah, go on then. So, a 79 series.
Land Cruiser.
Because again, going back to the Australians, right? So, a station wagon, so four doors, and they have the sort of a canopy on the
back. They're a double cab, aren't they, basically?
Like a double cab, yeah. Like a canopy.
Yeah.
Kitted out with the roof tent. Oh.
There's a few of them in the UK now. People have been importing them. There was one at Greetham.
Really strong money. Yeah, there was.
There was a double cab.
So at Greetham is our local classic car meet. It's on a Tuesday night in the summer. Thursday night.
Every month in the summer, isn't it?
In the summer.
Last Thursday.
Like about 500 or 600 cars there. Because it was.
It's a good little... Yeah, they had I didn't get speaking to them, but they had a 79 series double cab V8. Sounded awesome. And a 40 series, which is like the little Jeep looking thing. Sorry, Land Cruiser fans, but that's what it looks like.
So are we allowed to... So like, do you know what I'd buy if it was a classic?
All right, well, let's do one classic, one modern.
You've Dodge got Power Wagon.
A classic Dodge Power Wagon?
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's my classic.
Fine.
I mean, totally impractical.
Oh, cool. I don't know how... God, I don't know now. I've been thinking of new ones. I haven't even considered the whole world of classics.
I could, yeah.
Do you know...
I think having a Woodish Jeep would be quite cool.
Yeah, I agree with you. That would be...
That's like your equivalent Series 1, isn't it?
Essentially, yeah. Well,
kind of
what Series 1 was based off, isn't it?
Yeah.
Back in the day.
I think one of those would be really cool.
Yeah. Oh, classic.
For about 300 miles a year.
I've always... Oh, no, I can't.
Go on, you've got to say it now.
The Jeep LJ, so the Wrangler LJ, the leaf sprung but long wheelbase.
Okay, from the 80s.
80s, 90s.
Yeah.
I'm sure they were leaf sprung. They had the rectangular head.
Are they still leaf sprung?
No, they're... What would you have new, though?
Ah, but this is a question I don't think I can answer.
Really?
Yeah.
I find myself wishing, because when the Jimny came out, do you remember, you know, the latest shaped Jimny? When that came out, I was like all over it.
You were wishing it was good.
No, it is good.
That is good for what it is.
I wish they did a long wheelbase one.
With a bigger engine.
Yeah.
Because it's only 1.5 petrol, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then it doesn't meet emissions.
No, you can only buy commercial ones now, I think.
Because emissions are different for commercial vehicles in the UK. But the prices went through the roof, didn't they?
They did when they first came out because no one could get them. But stupidly, they do a lower emission one in Japan, which is, I think, 1.3 turbo.
Okay.
And they, for some reason, won't bring them over here. I may be outdated. It might be they've started now, but that's the last I heard. I haven't really got my finger on the pulse of the Suzuki Jimny at the moment, to be fair.
Now, I heard from a good source that they are bringing a 2025 model into the UK.
Okay.
Of the new Jimny.
That'd be good.
And I happened to Google images of it to have a look, quick look.
Yeah.
It looks okay.
Okay. Does it look very similar to the current one?
Yeah, not dissimilar.
Okay.
But they've probably sorted out the emissions and...
Yeah.
There's a huge
yeah.
market for that in the UK.
Well, you see a few of them about.
But no boot space.
No, but if you're just taking your dog out or you've got a farm and you just need to get around, it's essentially a quad bike with a roof, isn't it?
Very expensive quad bike.
Well, what are they? 20 grand, weren't they? New?
Yeah, but they were trading for over 30,000 quid, weren't they?
When they came out, they were like 18
yeah.
and a half, weren't they?
Yeah. Brand new. Then...
A flipping side by side, like a Kawasaki Mule or a Polaris, they're like 20,000 quid brand new. So which one are you going to choose? Have you seen the new Land Cruiser?
Probably, but it hasn't sunk in, if you know what I mean.
Harry Metcalf. Harry's dad did a review on one.
He's a fantastic YouTuber.
Yeah, you can't absolutely, while on the subject, check out his stuff.
Yeah, because he reviews the new Defender, actually, from a farmer's perspective.
Yeah.
So actually, a working vehicle. So check.
Yeah, he had it on a long term.
Yeah, he did.
And he took a 130 to somewhere cold. I can't remember where.
England.
He went skiing in it, I think.
Okay.
But he's got some really, really good videos. But he's recently done one on the later shape Land Cruiser, and I have to say, although it's got a really small four-cylinder diesel, which is a bit like gruff and a bit thrashy, I quite like the look of it.
Okay.
What are Jeep doing at the moment? The JL Wrangler is the latest one, isn't it?
Yeah, but don't they blow up a lot?
I don't know. I don't know enough about them.
No, I've never... Do you know, I'd have to... If I couldn't own a modern Land Rover or Range Rover, in fact, I can't even bring myself to... I'd have to have a new Defender, really. But I want to like the Grenadier more than I do.
Yeah. I have to say, having... In fact, as one of our most viewed videos, for all the right or wrong reasons, is a little drive of the Grenadier on the Land Rover Monthly YouTube channel. And when I got underneath it, I mean, driving it's one thing, but when you get underneath it and you really get a decent look at how beefy everything is, you're like, I can get on board with this.
It's kind of built with purpose in mind rather than Chelsea tractor.
The opposite impression of what I got when I went under it probably would have been the JK Wrangler, so not the current one, the previous model, and it just looked like everything was made out of like cocktail sticks and paper mache underneath compared to a Defender.
Yeah.
Like it didn't look strong at all. And I may well be wrong, but it didn't look tough.
The Jeep market in the UK isn't huge, is it? There is a following for them, but not huge.
No, I mean, they do have their diehard fans and people, you still see quite a lot of, like the Wrangler Rubicons are really cool. Whenever I see one of them out on the road, I go, okay. It's an out-of-the-box off-roader.
I would probably have to buy a Hilux. Toyota Hilux.
Really?
Yeah, but like a pimped-up one.
Ugh. Really?
Yeah, safe option.
My mate had one as a courtesy car. His Range Rover Sport got hit in a car park and was in the body shop for ages, and he had this brand-new Invincible X. Hilux Invincible X on test. It's a nice enough thing, but I don't think I'd spend my money on one.
I don't know, this is all fictitious. I mean, can you imagine life with no Land Rovers?
It's not worth it. Wouldn't be worth bare thinking life, about, would it?
No.
What else is there? Oh, we've really gone off on a...
But we need our listeners to get involved.
Yeah,
here.
Get involved.
Email in and help us out because, what alternatives?
We might even have some listeners that have had or even currently own a Grenadier or a new Defender, and I'd love to know what you think of both.
Hmm.
In fact, Russ Dykes had a
Adventures
new shape 90, didn't he? And he had that for a good while, and he did about 40,000.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, trouble free, completely.
And now he's got a Grenadier, so he would be the man. Russ, give us a shout. Let us know what you think of both, and we'll report back. But yeah, any other brands?
We should have Russ on here. To be fair, Because he does do some serious miles in all of these vehicles, and he puts them through their paces.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I don't know. G-Wagon, what do you reckon to G-Wagon?
Yeah. I like that. Right, so I like the older ones.
Yeah.
The late 70s, early 80s. I'm not so keen on the very latest ones.
I think they've got an image problem.
They have an image problem.
All of them are AMGs.
In the UK... you've got to be careful what we say here.
Give me a G300D with steel wheels and locking discs.
Yeah,
yeah.
Call me up with a nice checkered leaf pattern.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfectly.
Beautiful.
Yeah. But the new ones have an image problem.
Yeah.
A bit like an aging Range Rover Sport in some cases.
Yeah, if they fall into the wrong hands, they soon get the stick on chrome and the 22s and just ruined, don't they?
Yeah.
I don't know, but yeah, please, we'd love to hear what your thoughts are. If you couldn't have a Land Rover, what would you have?
Anyway, so Christmas Day, you often get money. Do you get money for Christmas? I don't.
Sometimes. I sometimes get a bit.
I give money to my kids and stuff. But what if you've come in for a bit of money or you're looking to next year? We must have some products of the week.
Well, we have got products of the week.
But
apparently you should say that, Steve.
Because Christmas Day is a day a lot of people make Land Rover purchases.
Here's a top tip for you.
Don't go on eBay on Christmas Day.
No, do go on eBay on Christmas Day.
Right.
Because everyone else is busy. It depends what time, obviously. In the evening, it might get a bit busier. But some people unwittingly schedule their auctions to end on Christmas Day. And if you're ending your auction on Christmas Day at, like, I don't know, mid-afternoon, everyone's going to be busy doing family stuff or having Christmas dinner or whatever.
Spot the bargains.
The auctions bomb on Christmas Day. Yeah. So if you're looking to buy something, see when it ends. If it ends on Christmas Day, hang around, keep an eye on it. Just every so often, excuse yourself and go and have a little look on your phone and put a bid in and you might get a bargain. But let's have product of the week, shall we? This week's product of the week, and you might have actually got one of these for Christmas because it's quite a cool little gift. We spoke about models and things, didn't we, on our last minute gift buying guide?
We did, yeah.
We missed this one out because it wasn't out yet. This is from Mattel, who obviously make Matchbox. It's an adventure discovery. As you can see, it's for the record, I'm showing Steve a picture of it.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this one.
A Camel Trophy-esque Discovery 1 model, 1/64 scale, so quite small. And, oh no, it's Hot Wheels. I beg your pardon, not Matchbox, it's Hot Wheels. It's part of their Elite Mod Shop range, so it comes with all the accessories like sand ladders, front lights, winch bumper.
Really cool.
You can change the axles on it, and you can basically customise it yourself. £29.
That sounds really good.
Creations.mattel.com.
Right, okay.
So that's my product of the week, and I'm actually quite tempted to get one of those because that's really cool.
Yeah, I kind of want one.
Oh.
I've been hunting out. I've been to Aldi at Lidl's.
Did you find any?
No. I think they've been raided, to be honest.
Probably by me, to be fair.
Yeah, no, well.
I went to B&M and bought a load more.
I didn't go to Aldi. I'm lying to you. I went to Lidl's, actually. And,
they actually have any Hot Wheels?
Yeah, they did. But they had. Like, you know, these cars that actually aren't real cars. They're just like...
Yeah, they're like made-up ones.
Made-up things.
Yeah.
There's just like a handful of those left. So I'm still looking for the Land Rover models.
I'll give you one for Christmas.
Thanks.
It's all right. Yeah. I was going to say it's a funny old time of year, really, isn't it? Because you're in that sort of... You sort of feel obliged to chill out. But also, if you've got time off and you've got spare time, I sort of get... itchy feet and I want to go off and do stuff. I want to go off and work on the Land Rover, which I can't really do. This is the frustrating thing about doing it for the magazine. I shouldn't moan. Doing it for the magazine, doing it for YouTube.
You not moan?
It doesn't normally stop me, I know. But you get to a point where you can't do any more until you're over to record it and the photographer's over to take pictures of it and you're like, I just want to get the thing finished and drive it. But you can't.
No, unless you want it to save on Christmas Day.
It is Christmas Day.
Yeah, but it is today, but you know we're not recording this actually on Christmas Day.
You've spoilt the illusion.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we could have been tucking into some homemade Yorkshire puddings.
Well, now you've got the recipe.
Recorded.
No need to ever buy pre-made Yorkshires.
Well, quite. But yeah.
Yeah.
What have you... Have you got any... I know this isn't the New Year's podcast, because that's going to be next week. Yeah, we're not even skipping New Year's Day.
No, because because it happens to fall on a Wednesday, which is, as everyone knows, podcast day.
You're talking like this wasn't pre-planned from when we started it.
Yeah, of course it's pre-planned.
Yeah, exactly. New Year's resolutions then. Come on, Land Rover themed New Year's resolutions. What are you going to do?
Well, given the game away, I've got to finish my project, haven't I?
Finish it?
I've got to start it.
I think you'll make good progress on it this year.
Yeah, it absolutely. Yeah, you know, all joking aside, every week we talk about it, don't we? And every week I sort of forget about it.
Yeah, well, it's easy, isn't it? Because it's like, I suppose, although your shed is at home, it's out of sight, out of mind, isn't it? If you've got other things to do and you don't go out there every day, you're not keeping it, you know.
Do you know, the thing that stopped that for me was being distracted by buying a 90.
Yeah.
So the need to have it done.
An oven-ready one.
And then an oven-ready one came along and I ended up doing a few bits. Quite a lot of things have been done to that green 90.
Did you own another Land Rover when you bought that project one? The B-Reg one?
Yeah. I had a Discovery one and a Freelander one and a Freelander two.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So then you sold all that lot and then you bought another
one. Yeah. But basically everything evolves, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I always overlap with at least one Land Rover or two Land Rovers at a time.
It's got to be done, hasn't
it? Well, I was looking yesterday, I was digging for an old photo. And I found pictures of my Kinversand TD5 Recovery 2, which I actually, in the back of your mind, I remember it. But then I saw these pictures. How clean was that? I showed you a picture, didn't I?
Yeah, it's really nice.
X-Reg, say 2000, 2001 model. And I remember selling it with about 120,000 miles on the clock.
Yeah.
But the rear chassis, round, but obviously where they rust, was bulging. And right. I sold it. Funnily enough, tell you who bought that. Russ Dykes bought it.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Well.
But then he took, because he was going to sell it on. And he sold it on. But he basically paid me what I bought it for. I did 8,000 miles on it. It was gone.
Happy days.
Still on the road.
Good.
I did a number plate check on it yesterday. It's still on the road, but 166,000 miles.
She's had a bit of welding, I'd imagine.
No mention of chassis corrosion.
Oh, right.
But it definitely, the body was really clean on that car.
It looked really tidy in the picture, but then plenty of sort of spin that sort of tidy at one point and then over.
That was a tidy one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I happened to work, so where our old offices were, I managed, funny, we're talking about meal deals, I went to the local co-op for lunch. We used to walk into the village from our old LRM HQ, and I came back with a Land Rover. It was a sale there and then down the side road.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
For the right money.
There it was.
So, good stuff.
Anyway.
Let's go back to YouTube quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was essentially a sort of loose theme for this podcast, and we've touched on it, but let's talk about it more. Any particular favourite YouTube channels that you think our listeners would enjoy if they're wanting to escape and get a bit of chill time over the Christmas period? Do you want me to kick off while you have a think?
Yeah.
So one that's caught my attention recently, I'd sort of been aware of it for a little while, but it was only when they did a Land Rover that I got really excited about it, is Dirt Lifestyle. He's in America. His name's Nate, and he does a lot of custom fabrication and builds all sorts of crazy stuff. But recently, he's got an 88-inch Series 3. He dragged it out of a hedge, I think, and he's done this really, really cool sort of off-road build, but primarily for snow.
Okay.
So he's called it Project Yeti. He's cut all the original suspension off and the axles, and he's fabricated custom four-link suspension for it, front and rear. It's on enormous, I think they're like 38-inch Icelandic snow tyres. And he's put a 19J turbo diesel in it. I don't know why. I guess that's what they had available at the time. But yeah, it's a little truck cab, and he's got some cracking videos of it going through hugely deep snow near where he lives, with like 1.5 PSI in these you know, huge snow tyres. So yeah, the build up on that is really cool if you're into a bit of fabrication and a bit custom off-road building. And even if you're not into that, check out the driving videos he's done of it. Absolutely cracking thing. And yeah, I would recommend checking out Dirt Lifestyle. That's my first one.
For me, I like watching True Blue Travellers. So they're the guys I referred to earlier when they've built the Prince Gower more recently. But if you go back to some of their videos, they built this 110 up into a camping vehicle.
Okay.
really, really good. And they release episodes every Saturday morning. Decent, you know, half an hour, 45-minute episodes every Saturday morning.
Oh, wicked.
It's their profession.
So they do the, do they do the, like the build up of it as well, and then document their travels?
Yeah, yeah. So there's a mixture of travel videos. They build the vehicles with purpose in mind, and they go and do the trip. The guy, John, he's got every tool for every job, and he does like a tool talk Tuesday. So he basically talks about tools and different things that he uses in the workshop. His workshop wants for nothing. He's got everything.
Right.
And he's obsessed with tools. And so you learn a bit about, he isn't just, this is what we've done. He shows you why he's doing it and how he's doing it and top tips and things like that. So you learn quite a lot from his channel.
Oh, wicked.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And of course, if you're not into Land Rovers, you're into military vehicles.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Hughes is hilarious.
Absolutely fantastic stuff. I think he's done one, actually. He's one of his most recent ones. They went to Witham SV. Witham Special Vehicles.
That was yesterday. I might have seen
a bit or something. And they did look around some Land Rovers, like a workshop-equipped 110 and a few other bits, but it's primarily like military vehicles, like tanks and people carriers, and it's quality, like real grassroots, dirty hands, farmyard work. Yeah, I would recommend that, Mr. Hughes. And he's very entertaining as well, him and his mates.
Yeah, I watched an episode of his where he went into a field and he was dragging felled trees out with a, was it a matador?
No, as a camel's. Foden.
Foden.
Yeah, he's got a big Foden, hasn't he?
Fantastic. I couldn't remember what it was. Just watching the vehicles like that working, it's like going back in time.
Yeah, it's got some serious stuff, some serious bits of kit.
Yeah, and just firing up a tank and moving it.
Yeah, no, I really like Mr. Hughes at the moment. Yeah,
but you can tell he's well received because the amount of followers.
His channel's growing huge. He's really put a lot of work into that. You can tell.
Yeah, but
no, it's really, really worth a watch. Another one I'm quite enjoying at the moment. Again, a lot of listeners probably already aware of it. LR Time. Have you heard of LR Time?
LR Time.
A German couple, Christian and Vera. They're really like, Christian is a hardcore engineer. Like, he lineboard a TDV6 engine in his basement. They're like really into their discoveries primarily.
They've got
a Range Rover, and I think they've just bought a Freelander. I'm a little bit behind, but LR Time, really, really good sort of technical troubleshooting and how-to videos, and they're really entertaining as well. They sort of bounce off each other, and they have their little catchphrases and things like that. So 100% check out LR Time.
I'm just looking at them, actually. So, I mean, some of their videos getting like 55,000 views.
Who's that?
LR Time.
Yeah, no, they're a really, really decent channel.
Yeah, you can see it's well thought out.
The guy is got like such a, Christian's got such a dry sense of humour. He's just, yeah, absolutely hilarious.
You need a sense of humour to work on those kind of cars.
You do. Mm. But he's a very knowledgeable guy. Very, very knowledgeable indeed. What else we got? I feel like my subscriber, so I'm just scrolling through my subscriptions list on YouTube. Because YouTube's got a funny old habit of like hiding. If you subscribe to a channel and then leave it a while, it doesn't seem to recommend the videos anymore. I don't know why. It's probably something. Maximus Ironthumber. Have you seen him?
No. See, your YouTube list and my YouTube list are completely different, aren't they?
Well, they will be, yeah. I would have thought. But he's a blacksmith, I think, by trade, down in the West Country. He's rebuilt two Land Rovers on his channel, a diesel 88-inch Series 2A, and he's just finished a later 109 Series 2A, I think it is. No, Series 3, in fact, called Project Kermit. And he's put a 200 TDI in and completely... He's put like a stage one style front end on it, or Defender style front end. Really, really smart. He put parabolics on it and disc brakes. And he's documented that all the way through. But he's also done a Zill military truck that he's put a Cummins engine in. And he's making it like a big mobile, you know, when you go to fairgrounds and you see like the organs.
Yeah.
Doing that sort of thing. I don't fully understand that side of it. I was more interested in the fact he's put a Cummins 6BT in a six-wheel drive military truck, but check him out. He's good.
Yeah. There's quite a few. I mean, YouTube now is I mean, do kids actually watch telly anymore? I think telly is probably dying off a bit, isn't it?
I don't know, really. It depends what you find interesting, I suppose. The thing is with YouTube is it's such a, you can guarantee no matter what, how niche your interest is, there'll be content that you like. Whereas telly, like,
you have to wait for episodes of things.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That you might be interested in. But yeah, I mean, my wife, she doesn't watch anything on YouTube whatsoever.
Does she not?
No, not a single thing.
Not even us?
No.
Oh.
She's never even listened to one of our podcasts. She probably hears enough of me rabbiting on at home.
Yeah.
Let alone listen. She's not even listened to one podcast.
Is she not?
No.
Come on.
I feel offended. I don't actually, because what would I listen to her podcast? She hasn't got one, by the way, but if she did, I might listen to the first one.
Well, Maker have got a good YouTube channel as well.
Ah, no, he, yeah, to be honest, yeah, that is one I have.
You're a
watched.
Fan of Maker.
Yeah, because what I like about his stuff is you can see the skills that are in the within the workshop and the people that work there.
Yeah.
Like the TIG welding, and they oh, yeah, great stuff.
Last one. Seriously Series in Australia. The reason I say this primarily is because the word Parenti caught my eye, and they do like a deep dive on the Isuzu 4BD1, which is the engine you were talking about. They're in Australia. They do series stuff, as the name suggests, but they do all sorts of like long distance adventures. They do tech stuff. They do little showcases and comparisons of different things. I actually discovered them looking for tire videos, because that's the sort of thing I look for on YouTube. But yeah, he's a cracking guy. Jeff's the sort of main host of the channel, and I would thoroughly recommend that if you like a bit of series action in your life.
So I think we've given quite a lot of content options for people to get them through to at least New Year's Day.
I'd like to think so. And when New Year's Day does roll around, look forward to another installment of the podcast.
Yeah, why not?
And we'll be, should we say what we're going to do it on? Yeah, we're going to, New Year's Day is basically going to be planning your Land Rover year for 2025.
And there are a lot of things to plan.
There's a lot going on.
We don't have enough weekends.
No, we didn't have enough weekends in 2024, and 2025 is not going to be any different. But it'll be good.
Yeah.
It'll be good. I'm keen. But yeah. I don't think there's anything left to say other than enjoy the rest of your Christmas day, if you're listening on Christmas Day, and catch you on the next one.
Bye for now.